ಕಿಶೋರಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ನಯನಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಡ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀಧನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರದಾರಿ ಶೋಭಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಶೋಭಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಎವ್ರಿಬಡಿ ಲೌಡ್ಲಿ ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ Once more, loudly, please. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. One more last time. Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಮಹಾಮಂತ್ರ ಕೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥ ಕೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರ್ ನಿತಾಯ ಕೀ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಸಮವೇತ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಕೀ ओम अज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं। वंदेहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। So I welcome all of you for this monthly Prerna festival. First of all, I thank the organizers of this program for offering me an opportunity to share something with all of you today. I have been always saying what I appreciate the most in Bombay is this Prerna program, which has been steadily going on for more than 150 times. So it's a great joy for me to be here to see 1,000 bright faces. The one topic which I have taken today is a very challenging topic, and it is something that is relevant to today and now. So you may even wonder, what is this title of this? Be carefree like a bee, or be careful and be free. Although it's very rhythmic, many people may wonder the meaning of this topic, which you will come to know very soon as I proceed today. So there are two parts in this. Be carefree like a bee. I have taken this topic from Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, carefree is a good word. It's not a derogatory word. Carefree is actually a good word, to be carefree. But why I purposefully used it here? Because the bee thinks he is carefree, but the bee is not carefree. You will see how it is. Like you see in this picture, in Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, a bee, any bee, sits in a lotus flower and sucks honey and gets intoxicated and goes to sleep, and then as the sun sets the lotus flower closes, and next day morning you will find these honeybees dead. You will find this in the lotuses, you will find. So while sitting in the lotus flower, did the honeybee think about it? He didn't think about it. All he thought was his enjoyment. So this example is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like in our home, sometimes we used to put a rat trap. You know rat trap? So they would keep a coconut hanging, and the rat would come there and look around. There is nobody around. Some fool has kept a coconut hanging like this, foolishly. Probably he was not aware that I am going to come. So he will go and pull the coconut, and you know what happens. It gets closed. And when it is closed, and that rat wonders, what happened? So it is too late for him to think about it. So just as a rat gets trapped in a rat trap, a honeybee gets trapped in a lotus flower, as you see here. And this honeybee is not the only fellow who smells the fragrance of the lotus, due to which he is drawn towards the lotus. And then he gets trapped there. But there are many others explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, as you see here. A moth is explained here. You will find sometimes a moth wants to enter the house through a window. It keeps hitting on the glass window, wanting to go inside, because inside the house some people are sitting around a campfire. They have made a fire and sitting around it during a winter season. But the moth is thinking that the fire looks like a sunflower. So he repeatedly makes an attempt, and hearing the sound of that hitting moth, the people in the home may open the window and the moth goes straight into the fire and gets roasted. Similarly, people with their eyes, they throw lusty looks, and that lusty look becomes a great threat for their very survival. Like that Srimad Bhagavatam explains. So the moth is attracted to form of fire. Similarly, lusty people are attracted to the form of the opposite sex. That example is given. Then there is an example of an elephant. An elephant is undoubtedly a very mighty animal. Like you see here, the African elephant. Very mighty, very powerful. One time my spiritual master was saying that all the animals, birds and insects have a habit of impressing their mates. Recently I read an amazing information about the eagle. Some of you might probably be knowing. This eagle, when it flies up in the sky, if a she-eagle comes, and if the male eagle wants to connect with the she-eagle, he has to prove himself to her first, prove his commitment to her. So what she does, she takes a stick from the ground, takes it up, up, up in the sky, and she will drop it. Before that stick falls to the ground, the male eagle has to go and capture it, and then bring it back and give it to her. And then again she will catch it, even go up, 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 more higher. Then she will drop it again. Again this fellow has to catch. So at least 5 times he has to do this. Then the female eagle say, permission granted now. Now I can marry you. And I heard there are 6 things about the eagle. I told you only one of them. There are other things also about the eagle like this. Like when there are heavy winds blowing, the eagle takes it as an advantage to soar even more higher. There are many other things about the eagle, but this is one of the truths about the eagle. But why I am telling you, it's not only the eagle, even the elephant, sometimes, you know, it puts its trunk around a branch of a tree, just tears it down. Then he looks around, is there anybody watching me? If there is a female elephant standing at a distance, female says, wow, this is a very mighty task you have done. Then he says, wait and watch what I do. Then he puts his, you know, trunk around the trunk of the tree. And then with great effort, he uproots the trunk of the tree and throws it off. And again looks at the female, what do you say about this? So, this impressing game goes on amongst animals, birds, humans, everybody. We all know that. But today I am going to tell you something else about the elephant. See, when a male elephant has to be caught, it's not an easy thing. Elephants are so powerful, sometimes these African safari people go to take videos of these animals in the forest. Once a sumo was coming in a roadway and the elephant walked in the opposite direction, it was coming towards the sumo. So they showed one video of how the elephant can take its trunk and hit on the top of the sumo and topple it completely. People had to come out of the sumo and run for their life. So elephant is extremely mighty, very powerful. But do you know how they catch it? They put a she-elephant, they display a she-elephant on the other side, and in front of the she-elephant they make a big hole, pit, and they put some bamboo sticks, and they dry bamboo sticks, and they put some leaves over it. And as soon as this male elephant looks at the she-elephant, He has attraction for sex life, so he runs, chasing after her. So naturally, you know what happens, he falls into the pit because of the bamboos breaking and he falls. And what do you think happens to she-elephant? She's taken to another place to catch another male elephant. She's only used for that purpose. And this poor fellow is not fed any food for 3-4 days. So after 3-4 days, when he's very weak, they put chain around his body, take him in a lorry to the circus, and in circus he has to sit in a stool by keeping all his 4 foot in the stool. You have seen how they sit. Poor fellow, this elephant can wander anywhere in the jungle. Now he has to sit on a small stool, all the 4 legs in one place, and he has to show such kind of circus. So poor fellow, he loses his independence because of mad attraction towards the opposite sex. Correct, no? You can see that is the situation of the elephant. Similarly, the deer is said, see, the deer has a weakness in the ears. What is his weakness? When the hunter plays a horn, immediately the deer's ears stand erect, and whichever direction he is playing, in that direction he goes. Because he goes in that direction. And he is just stunned. And the hunter puts a rope around his neck and catches it and kills that deer. Similarly, you will find people who want to hear rock music 110 decibels. Like when we were in IIT, we used to hear this Mood Indigo rock music. Dum, dum, dum. And they would be hitting 110 decibels. Dum, dum. Your heart also will go like this. It's about to break. Because beyond 110 decibel is not good for our heart. Do you know that? Yeah. I don't know how the people participate. I used to hear from my room. That was so frightening. So, in this way, people, by hearing the music, first of course they hear the music, and then they contemplate on the meaning. What is he saying? What is she saying? They contemplate on the meaning. And their mind becomes imbued with the meaning, and they get carried away like the deer. They go behind, like that, and then they get lost. Actually, such kinds of, so it's attracted to the sound, and the bee was attracted to the smell, and the moth was attracted to the sight. Similarly, elephant was attracted by the sense of touch. Similarly, the fish, although the fish gets abundant type of foods in the ocean, when a fisherman is putting a meaty bait with a hook, somehow the fish wants only that. Although he gets so many other things, he wants to eat that. When he puts his mouth there, the meat goes inside and the hook goes deep inside. And then the fisherman, he pulls it out. Then he is out of the water and he loses his life. So like that it is given, these 5 examples I told you now. These 5 examples are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now why I told these examples, you will very soon come to know. See here, a child wants to be also carefree, without parents' interference. Like, look at this child, he wants to jump off from a tree branch on his own. And the other child wants to take the knife and put in the mouth. How unsafe and how dangerous it is. Sometimes you find small kids, they want to go to kitchen and touch that gas stove fire, the blue color fire. It's attractive for the children. So, child actually, the children have a nature to be eager to capture something, but they only don't know what to capture, what is safe enough to capture. When I was a small kid, every day I used to watch my father's bag when he would come back at night from the shop, you know. So one day I opened the bag and I found naphthalene balls and I didn't know what it was. When I took out, it was all round, 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 big, big round, one full transparent packet. I thought it was very attractive peppermint, something to eat. So I immediately tore it open. I picked up 4-5 in this hand, 4-5 in this hand, and I ran. And I went inside to eat. And my mother saw me what I was doing. And she ran behind me. She caught hold of my collar and snatched all the naphthalene balls from my hands. And I was wondering, why mother is so cruel today? I asked her, you know, you are taking away everything. At least can I eat one? She said, not even one, she said. I said, it is glowing so beautifully. It is smelling so nicely. Why don't you let me eat? She said, this is only to be eaten by cockroaches, not you. And she said, we are going to throw it in the cupboards for the cockroaches. I said, such a good chocolate is meant for the cockroaches. So, therefore the example of the child is given. The child is foolish. He thinks he can be free to enjoy it. But what he wants to enjoy is very dangerous for him. Extremely dangerous for him. Similarly, the five things I told you just now, they all are thinking that they are going to enjoy. Am I right or not? Correct, no? The elephant thought he is going to enjoy with the she elephant. They both can go for a picnic. That's what he must have thought. And this picnic happened in the ditch only, in the pit. Isn't it? So you will see all these insects and birds and animals, everybody thought they are going to enjoy. But they only thought, but they could not. Yeah. Okay, now, can humans be like that careless bee? Actually, I would have given the word careless in the title. I should have actually given what? Careless bee. But I gave the word carefree bee. Why? Because the bee doesn't know he is careless. That is his problem. Like, I didn't know the naphthalene ball is dangerous for me. Therefore, I imagined that I am carefree. Therefore, can human beings be also like this bee? It is an important question. And what inspired me to speak on this topic today is this. Now we are living in this postmodern age. So the pre-modern age, modern age and postmodern age. There are three stages. In the pre-modern age, whenever you quoted scripture, people took you seriously. You quote a shloka, people will say, Prabhuji knows everything. Hare Krishna. Immediately people will accept. You quote some few shlokas, people will salute. They will take off their cap and keep at your feet. They will say, that was pre-modern age. And in modern age, people developed faith in science. If you can quote some scientific research, some data, some results, then they would trust you. But post-modern age, neither scripture nor science. Everybody is wearing a t-shirt on being human. On being human. Actually, what they mean is, on being human means, I will do whatever I want, don't ask me. That's the meaning on being human. That's what indirectly they mean. One fellow was wearing a t-shirt, don't disturb me. Big letters. As soon as I saw, immediately I kept a little distance. But I found below those big letters, there was something written in small letters which I didn't know what it was. So I was a little curious to know what it was. So I went near and I saw. So the big letters, don't disturb me, and below that, because I am already disturbed. That's what we have written. So, people are so disturbed in this age. They want you to be sensitive. And what they mean by sensitivity means, you can do whatever you want. Nobody should ask you. I will do what I want. And that's what they consider as a carefree life. Therefore, I took this topic today, the postmodern spirit of freedom. So these two slogans you might have heard, just do it, with Nike shoes, put a tick mark and say, just do it, which goes well with postmodern. And another one is, look before you leave, which is not so familiar for people. It's a forgotten old statement. Look before you leave. So, in this seminar, we will see what are the disadvantages of going for just do it. Although I know it's a dangerous topic to venture into, still I do it because it is necessary for everybody. Therefore, you will see in the subsequent slides more about many examples I am giving, evidences to show that in the name of being human and being sensitive, anybody can do whatever they want according to the whims and fancies of their mind. The result is, it is going to lead to disaster for themselves and for others also. Like here you see, I have given a heading, you see, are we free to enjoy the way we want? That's the first thing we are seeing. So in the subsequent three slides, I am showing on three things, lust, anger and greed. Actually, our lust, what is the definition of lust? It's seen here, you see. Adamant desire to enjoy that which is prohibited. That is actually the definition of lust. Generally, people think lust means man-woman relationship. It's not necessary. Lust can be there in a child also. Like a child sometimes is very lusty for eating a cocoa chocolate. Mother may say, beta, your already four tooth are gone. Huh? If you eat coca chocolate, the other few tooth also will be gone. Huh? Please take this orange. Huh? He will take the orange and throw it like a ball. Huh? I want only coca chocolate. Sometimes I have seen a boy lying in a shopping mall and waving his hands and legs, screaming, "Unless you give me coca chocolate, I'm not going to get up." He was creating a scene for everybody. So what is this called as? Lust. Why? Because lust means adamant desire for something that is prohibited, which is not good for us. So you will find in the same manner, see, I have written poetic slogans in each of it probably. Young and old, get clean bold. Giving shape to lust, suffering is must, I have written. You see, it's not a question of you are young or old. You see, I had in my intermediate college, I had one friend. And as soon as I joined the college, I started going in a bus. But in this bus, there would be lot of crowds of both boys and girls also. Because prior to our polytechnic, there would be a girls' college. After that, there would be our polytechnic. So the bus would be crowded with people. So this friend of mine, whom I told you, he had a habit of, pushing the girls, sometimes pulling their hair. He would pull like that. So he was showing me, say, "I'm pulling her hair, let us see the response." And if the girls would turn around and become angry, they would throw angry look, he would give them chocolates. So that they'll keep quiet. So he would do like that. So I went for 2-3 days and I got fed up. Then I started going by cycle after that. It was about 16 kilometers every day. I would go in a cycle. But he would come to the college, the daytime he would tell me his leelas in the bus. Yeah. So one day I asked him, "Hey, whatever nonsense you do, this kind of play you are doing with girls, it's a very dangerous thing. It's not proper. Do you go and tell your parents?" He said, "How can I tell this to parents? This is a private affair." He said, "Ghar mein Ram, gali mein Shyam." So what is his meaning? Ghar mein Ram means at home I will be like Lord Rama, very obedient. Very nice. And when you go in the street, I can be like Krishna, playing with girls. Of course, at that time, I was not, not enough opportunity to be connected to Prabhupada's books. I didn't have good arguments to say. Now, if I catch that fellow, what I will tell him, I will tell you. Srila Prabhupada says, if anybody says they want to dance in rasa dance, Krishna at the age of 5 years, 7 months, he danced on the hoods of 1,000 hooded Kaliya. Prabhupada says that anybody who says they want to dance with girls, they should first dance at least on the one hooded serpent at least. And while dancing they have to smile because Krishna smiled also. This is the first condition. And the second condition is, Krishna at the age of 7 lifted the Govardhan hill. At least they have to lift a table with the thin finger. So, I would tell him that now. At that time I didn't have any answer to give him. But, in this way, people have so many wrong notions about Krishna. If you read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that the gopis were sleeping in their homes. The mothers and fathers thought that they are at home only. They saw the bodies. But the spirit souls from there, body came out and that was dancing with Krishna. And then Prabhupada says, therefore, rasa dance is a spiritual dance. It is not dandiya rasa dance. Yeah. Prabhupada writes there, like what modern times people do. So, in this way, he was trying to be naughty, playful. One day, he saw somebody coming, some girl coming, he tried to do some eve teasing. Then he, behind that woman was coming, her father was a farmer, with a big mustache, with a big lungi and a big belt. He came in the front and said, "Hey, what are you doing to my daughter?" And he bit him so severely, he broke his hands and legs. He got fracture. Then he was admitted in the hospital. So I went to see him in the hospital. I asked, "What happened to you?" So he said that, "See, you rightly said, I should not do this mischief. I was like a carefree bird. And the result of the carefree bird is now I am admitted in the hospital." Then I told him, "I'll tell you a story of Kichaka." Who is Kichaka? Probably you may not know. In Mahabharata, The Kichaka, one day, Kichaka actually is the queen's brother. One day queen sent Draupadi to take some, you know, fruits and fruit juices and all and go and give it to this Kichaka who was a brother of the queen. So when Draupadi, of course Draupadi was a Sairindri. Sairindri means a servant maid. But what kind of servant maid is she? She's a queen actually. But she was dressed up like a servant maid. So when she went to give him, Kichaka looked at her dazzling beauty and caught hold of her hand and said, "Hey, who are you? Come here." And she ran away. And then Kichaka told his sister that, "Send that servant maid again, I want to see who she is." He became interested in her. Then Draupadi went and cried to Bhima, who was in the kitchen. So Bhima said, "Don't worry, you inform Kichaka that you will meet him in the Rangamanch, the dancing theater, tomorrow evening after the sunset." Draupadi said, "What are you talking? I am coming to you to be saved by you, and you are telling me to go to the Rangamanch?" Bhima said, "No, you tell him like that, you will not go, I will go." So next day evening Draupadi dressed Bhima exactly like her and took him to the Rangamanch. And Bhima was sitting with his long jata and with a pallu and everything. And then this fellow came from behind. Who? Kichaka came and he kept his hand in the shoulder and shook. "Hey Draupadi, turn around, why are you so shy?" He said, "Why should I be shy?" He turned around. And then Bhima and Kichaka had such a terrible fight. So Kichaka was practically made into a football. All the hands, legs, everything went inside. Made him into a football and finished him. So I told my friend who was in the hospital, "You know, your situation is not as bad as Kichaka." I told him, "At least your hands and legs are a little broken. You will be all right in 2 months." But why I told you, curiosity kills the cat. That is the saying, English. Which means, when teenage, there is a tendency for being carefree, for being loose or careless, like him. Now, I have written young and old, because it's not just the young. Even those who are old can fall in this trap. So, I am telling you all true stories. In Pune, there was a millionaire, crorepati, thousands of crores he had. He used to go for morning for jogging. So one another, he was 64, still he used to go for jogging in the morning, practicing. And there was another young girl who was 23, 24, and she was also going for jogging. They became jogging partners. And that lady came to know this fellow is a crorepati. She wanted to exploit him. So when they were sitting in a park bench, one day she told him, "You look like some very famous cinema actor, some Hindi actor, something." He said, "Really?" He was amazed. So he made friendship with her. She took him to her house. She was a single woman, divorcee lady. And she took a lot of signatures from him and extracted several crores. Several, 10-20 crores. In the meantime, his wife and his grown-up son and daughter, they came to our temple. And their Mataji and daughter and son, they came and told, "Please kindly, you know, preach to our father and save him." So the daughter and son, they are almost 20-23 years like that, grown up. They are asking the father, "Papa, are you not ashamed? What is your age? You are running behind that woman." And the papa is saying, "Hee-hee, what can I do? She likes me very much." So, actually his friends told him, "She doesn't like you, she likes your pocket." So therefore I have written young and old. See, I have written one most recent news in June 2018. What is this month? July, just last month only. What happened in Pune, see, Mr. Datta, one fellow, he had a wife and child, he poisoned them so that he can be free to marry some Sonali who is his Facebook girlfriend. Of course, his idea looks like some romantic movie, but he was caught. And the result is he is given 27 years imprisonment. And that girl is given 23 years imprisonment. It came in the paper, recent news. Why I am telling you, if I tell you, you know, Ajamila, you will say, "Prabhu, that's an old story, we know it." Therefore, I thought I'll get something very recent. That's the last one. So, you will see that the world, whatever lust is being spoken in the scripture is also seen in day-to-day life also. We can see that. Please remember this. One has to pay the price. You can't go scot-free. You can't do whatever nonsense we want to do and we can go scot-free. And you can see that. And this is something which repeats again. Whether you are a not so big person or a big person, whatever you be. Some of you might have heard about the news of one army chief, army officer, two army officers. One army officer wanting to connect with another army officer's wife, some Shailsa. She connected with her Dwivedi. So the result is, of course, they had a, nowadays because of this WhatsApp and Facebook, so many wrong connections are happening. Many wrong connections are happening. And the result was, somehow she eventually wanted to pull out from him, but he murdered her through some people. She drove his car over her. Actually, this you will find that the result of lust is always very dangerous. You find in movie pictures also, so man and woman together, another fellow is making a gun or something ready, or a knife or a gun. You see such pictures, no? All of you see or only I have seen? I have seen most posters, correct, no? So, therefore, this is the point. Are we free to enjoy the way we want? I told you about my friend. I told you about the old man. I told you about Datta. Nobody is free to enjoy the way they want. Although they may have the hankering or desire. Similarly here you see, can we become barbaric by uncontrollable anger? Of course I have given a Shastric example here. Careless Durvasa, proud of his tapasya, letting loose anger, got into danger. You know this pastime of Durvasa, showing disproportionate anger towards King Ambarish. This is a problem, practical problem for all of us also. We have experience. You can lose your best friend because of great anger. See, I have written, this is another recent event, July. This is July only, now only. July 2018. Where it happened? Here in your place only, Bombay only here. This Razak, he stabbed his friend Sheikh several times. What for? Just for touching his, you know, hair which is newly colored. That's all. He told him, hey, don't touch my hair. And the friend was jokingly touching. And this fellow stabbed him several times and killed him. Can you imagine? Now you may say, I will never do that. You may say that. But you will see that we all do become angry sometimes disproportionately. And it's not uncommon among students. Sometimes you see, in IIT days I had one experience. One of the boys wanted his friend's notebook. And the friend said, hey, tomorrow we have an exam. He said, no, you give me the notebook. I'll photocopy some of the pages. Before 9, I will put it back. You keep your window open, I'll put it through the window. He said. And the friend said, okay. And the friend went for his dinner and came back. And he opened the door and saw the book was not there, notebook. It was already 9:30. So he went to his friend's room, it was locked. So he became wild. I think this fellow took my notebook and went away so that I cannot get good marks tomorrow. You know, he was wild. So he was calling his friend, he was not picking up. Then about 11 o'clock or so, the friend was coming. So as soon as he saw him, this fellow went straight to him, caught hold of his collar and slapped him like this. Pat, 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 3-4 times he gave. He couldn't control his anger because he lost through 2-3 hours of studying. He asked, where is my notebook? And his friend said, he just couldn't speak a word. Then he took his friend to the other side room, next room. His room was locked, but the other room was open. So he said, I gave it to this friend. I couldn't put the notebook inside your room because your window was latched inside. I pushed it several times. It was not opening. What can I do? Your door is also locked. So I gave it to that neighbor. I told him that he should come and give you 9:30. And this fellow said, oh, I am very sorry. I never knew this. And that friend said, keep your sari puri, everything with you. I don't want. Like children do like this, no? You know this, children? You know this? Children say, no, I will not talk to you. Although these are grown-up boys, still he said, no, I will not talk to you anymore. And that's all. For a lifetime they became enemies. They had to give up their friendship. Although they were thick friends from the same village, From first standard to 12th standard they studied together, they joined IIT together. Still he lost his friendship. So in this way you will see the anger. Durvasa Muni's anger costed his life, as you see here. Of course his life was saved by, you know, merciful King Ambarisha. But the point is what? Are you free to exhibit your anger the way you want? Can any of us say that? I don't care for anybody. I can exhibit anger the way I want. Can we say that? No, we can't. And if we do, of course we can exhibit anger like that. You exhibit and see what happens. You have to face the consequences. You can't escape the consequences. Here I have shown greed. Can one shoot if you don't like someone? In the Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, there is a verse which says, Indra Krishna is saying, Idam adhyamaya labdham imam prapsye manoratham idam asti idam apime bhavishyanti punardhanam. You know what is the meaning of this? Today I have $1 million. Next year I'll make it $2 million. In 5 years I'll make it $5 million. And nobody can catch up with me. Like that he's saying. Idam asti idam apime bhavishyanti punardhanam. He's saying. And then he's saying, Asau hatamaya shatruhu. Oh, there is one man who seems to be in par with me. Hanishye chaparanapi. I will finish him, he says. Because I don't want anybody equal to me or better than me. I want to be asamordva. I want to be, everybody should be below me. Asau hatamaya shatruhu hanishye chaparanapi. Yishwaro hamaham bhogi siddoham balavansuki. I will become the supreme in this field. Nobody can catch up with me. Like that he says. See, Lord Krishna is saying these things. Such people are there who are demoniac, he says. They become extremely greedy. Another true story I have given, this is also July news. In Latur there was one, you know, Sharma and Chavan, two people. Actually this Chavan and many other people are working under Sharma's, this Kumar tutorials, and they were working. But at one time the Chavan took off from there and started his own step-by-step tutorials. And the step-by-step tutorial started progressing step-by-step very fastly. And then he made 4 or 5 centers in the Latur city. And they kept low fee. And the teachers were all highly competent teachers. And they were bringing very great results, IIT and IIT results and all. So when this Sharmaji saw, as it is mentioned here, it is allegedly he paid some 20 lakhs and then eliminated Chavan by shooting. So you can see, it is not that greed was there some million years ago in Satya Yuga. You can see even now, right now, you can see. So this personality, he lost his cool head because he could not take up that insecurity he was feeling. Why, he thought that this fellow was working under me, how he can become better than me now? Like His Grace Radha Gopinath Pooh was telling a story that once an artist, you know, he went to his sister's place. So when he was making artistry of some scenery, at the time the servant maid came and she was cleaning the house, and he saw that she was very good looking, and then she drew her also, and finally he decided to marry her only. When he decided to marry her, his sister felt very bad. Till date she has been my servant maid, now she will become my sister-in-law. She told her brother, see, you can marry her, but you have to stay in some faraway city. You cannot stay in this city, she told her. Because she had ego problem, correct, no? Because servant maid becomes your sister-in-law. There will be ego problem. So, in the same manner, you will find insecurity in this world is so strong. If somebody who was under me becomes equal to me or better than me, people are ready to even shoot down. Of course, they can shoot, but they can't escape the consequence. Correct, no? Again, the same point. Due to greed, like you all know Vishwamitra and Vasishtha competition, you read in the Ramayana, very beautifully explained. See, Vishwamitra was not a Brahmana, he was a Kshatriya king. So he went to Vasishtha's ashrama, where he was fed with very nice prasad from a cow, Kamadhenu cow. Then he became greedy for the cow. He wanted the cow, Vasishtha wouldn't give it. Vasishtha said, I need the cow for getting milk and ghee, which we have to use for sacrifice and everything. But Vishwamitra insisted. He forcibly wanted to take away the cow. At that time, that's a very long pastime, long story cut short. Vasishtha could restrain it. Just like a lion is king of the jungle. It may be very mighty, powerful. Like that, Vishwamitra was Kaushika Raja, very powerful. But Vasishtha was like a squirrel which can go to the top of the tree, which a lion cannot go. Similarly, Brahmanas were powerful by their Brahma Tejas and by their performance of Yajna. So he performed Yajna and controlled Vishwamitra from taking away the Kamadenu cow. After that, Vishwamitra performed some penance and came back. With multiple weapons, he attacked the Vasishtha. But Vasishtha took his stick and absorbed all the weapons into it. Like that, the competition goes between the two. Many, many, multiple competitions. At one time, one unqualified king called Trishanku went to Vasishtha and said, I want to go to heaven. Vasishtha said, without doing yajna, nobody can go to heaven. Then the fellow went to Vasishtha's sons. He said, your father is unable to send me to heaven. Can you guys send me? Son said, you are insulting our father. We curse you to become a chandala. So he became a chandala, very dirty looking, black dress and everything. And then he came to Vishwamitra and said, he just stood outside the hermitage of Vishwamitra and loudly said within his hearing, look at this world. Even Vasishtha is not able to do a favor to me in this world, whom I thought of to be a great sage. Like that he said. And who heard it? Vishwamitra heard it. He came out running. He said, what? What is it that Vasishtha is unable to do? Tell me. He said, I can do it. He said, he is not able to send me to Swarga without my performing any sacrifice. Vishwamitra said, I will send you, don't worry. I will use my tapobalam and send you. That is greed actually, because you want to outdo others. You want to prove. So Vishwamitra sent him. But then Indra saw some unqualified fellow is coming. He took his thunderbolt and sent him back. So back and forth he went. Finally he made a Trishanku Swarga. See, there is one of the Ashtasiddhis by which you can create a planet at will. So Vishwamitra created a planet for Trishanku. But the planet was uncontrollable. It went. It came to even hit on his face also. He got frightened. And at that time he loudly shouted, oh Lord, hurry! He shouted. At that time Lord Vishnu appeared and said, why are you screaming? What happened? He said, see, I created a planet which I am myself not able to control. It has gone out of control. Like the Frankenstein we say, no? A scientist created a big this thing and that itself he couldn't control. So Vishnu said, you see, you have acted beyond your capability. I can only stop it, provided you promise me that you will not do such mischief again. And he promised. And then the planet was stopped at a particular place. That became Trishanku Swarga. After that, Vishwamitra becomes a devotee. He becomes a devotee of Lord Rama. And then there are pastimes between Vishwamitra and Rama and all. You see that. But the point is, in this world, when we are greedy, we sometimes, you all know in those days, Ben Johnson took some steroid. But that was a very early day news. Now after that many more people did, correct, no? Why people do such things? Because they want to outdo others by hook or crook, by greed. So are we free to do such a thing? Yes, you are free to do such a thing, but you cannot escape the consequence as I told you before. Like one boy became angry in one Prabhupada lecture. He said, Swamiji, you say I cannot smoke a cigarette? I can't smoke, I don't care, he said. Prabhupada said, yes, you can smoke. But you can't escape the result of smoking. Like you can break a signal, but police will catch you and fine you. Correct, no? So, in this way, we can... all these three things I showed you, lust, anger and greed. Remember this, L-A-G, lag. In electrical engineering, we say lag or lead, we say. Lag means you will lag behind by these three bad propensities. And these three... are very strong urges in us. In fact, when we talk about the impurities of the heart, these three are the most prominent. Lust, anger and greed. And they actually drive us, push us. And in this particular day and age, we find that people think you can vent out these three things very liberally. And you can go scot-free. Because they are ignorant. They just don't know. And I showed you the results of... Such whether it is ancient times or whether it is right now, we can show the results are always disastrous. So you will see, even by small mistakes, one has to pay a big price. All these three, you yourself will know many examples. Therefore, I have given a heading here: movie life versus real life. We are not a Superman to do whatever we want and get what we wish. Actually, in one Superman movie, when Superman stops a fastly moving train, it comes, and then he stands like this, talk, he stops like this. So everybody is clapping hands. See, he has stopped a big train. But that fellow in the same movie, he got his knee hurt. I mean, his knee got broken. Then the poor Superman had to be admitted in hospital, you know, for many months while acting in that movie. But at least the Superman looks like a Superman, correct, no, in the movie. But are we such Superman that we can do whatever we want? Like, you know, can you jump on a 100-story building like a Spider-Man? You keep like this and you go up. All that you can only see on a screen, correct, no? You can't do that. Like one boy in North India, I heard that he wanted to imitate one advertisement. In advertisement, Shaktiman advertisement, he takes some cold drinks bottle and he comes flying in slow motion. So this fellow went to the 4-story building and took the same cold drinks, whatever comes in advertisement. And he also tried to jump in slow motion. Do you think he will come in slow motion? So these are very good only on the screen. Therefore, in real life, one has to be careful. Therefore, we are coming to the second part of the... See, how to be careful and free. So earlier, till now I've been talking about how to be carefree and suffer, correct, no? Now we are talking about careful and free. See, in our Vedic literatures, three types of karmas are given. Vihita karma, kamya karma, nishiddha karma. Vihita karma means prescribed duties, kamya karma means pleasurable activities, and nishiddha karma means prohibited activities. So, vihita karma means, like Shastra says, many things. You should do this, you know, these are things which you should do, like rise in the morning, chant the holy name. These are all vihita karma. And kamya karma means you like to do those activities which are actually not sinful. For example, playing cricket, is it sinful? No. Watching TV may not be sinful. Actually, they may be pleasurable activities, but they may be distracting. But they are not sinful. But nishiddha karma means sinful. So we have to clearly know the difference between these three. Like, imagine a small kid going with mother and father in a Innova car. Of course, Innova is a big car. So they go to the Chowpatty beach, and the child is peeping through the window and saying, "Mom, can I go and play in the beach?" And the mom says, "No, beta, be inside the car. Here are some toys. Play inside the car only. It is more safe for you to play inside." But the child is very eager to go out because children don't like to be trapped in a car inside. So, mother says, "Okay, I'll let you go and play in the beach, provided you promise me that you will not go and touch the water. Will you promise me?" Then the boy promises. Then the mother lets him go. So, being inside the car is like prescribed duties. Playing in the seashore is like kamya karma, pleasurable activity. And if the child getting into the ocean is prohibited activity. Is that clear to everybody? In the same manner, you can see a king is allowed to marry one wife in the Vedic times. That is vihita karma. He has to marry and beget a son who will be his successor. But sometimes, like Dasharatha is marrying more than one wife. That is called kamya karma. One can marry a few queens. In case one queen couldn't get a child, they may marry more queens, kamya. But if a king is going to a prostitute, that is nishiddha karma. Similarly, all of us should know in our life what is vihita, what is pleasurable, prescribed, pleasurable, prohibited. We should know the difference between the three. And then naturally we have to become careful in what we do. So, I told you about lust, anger and greed. There have been people who have been careful also. Let me give you some examples, it will be easy for you to understand. In one Purana, there is a story of one Brahmana in a place called Kampile Desh. So this Brahmana had very long flowing curly hair, and he had eyes like lotus petals. He had a very tall figure, body, very handsome looking. So he was playing on some violin kind of one instrument, and he entered that Kampile Desh. When he entered, all the women became attracted to him. So the women started walking behind him. A crowd of them, 2 dozen, 3 dozen women like that. So they all went with him behind, becoming attracted to him. They considered him like a paramour. Then all the husbands became very upset. So they all went and complained to king. king, this brahmana is alluring our wives, and it seems he's like a playboy. So please take some action. And the king immediately wanted to arrest this brahmana and bring him. So when he was taken to the king's court, all the ladies also went there. And the ladies told the king, "My dear king, do not punish this brahmana. He is not to be punished because he didn't do any harm. It is we who have become madly attracted to his beauty and his beautiful singing. So we have left our homes and we are following him." So at that time, the brahmana asked the king, "Can you allow me to speak a few minutes?" The king said, "Yes." And then the brahmana addressed all these ladies along with king and their husbands. He said, "A woman should never leave her husband and go with another man, even if her husband is poor, even if her husband is sickly, even if her husband is not a very famous personality. She should always serve the husband, and she should never do paramour love or go with another man." And then he told, "If a woman leaves her husband and goes with another man, the effect of her bad karma will be, in the next life she will become a rakshasi." Rakshasi means like a man-eater, like a dangerous creature. And then like this he preached to them. And then he told, "You ladies are following me. Actually you should treat me like a son. A boy, if you find a lady elder than you, she is like your mother. Matravad paradareshu. All women except one's wife should be seen like a mother. And if a girl is younger than you, she is like your daughter. Or like somebody is like a younger sister or like a daughter, they should be seen like that." So this brahmana told them, "All of you are like my mothers, and for you to look at me like a paramour is a great sin." And they all understood this words of dharma. Then they all bowed down to the brahmana. They said, "Oh, alas, how foolish we were. We were driven by our lust and we chased after you. Now we understood, we are very sorry. Now we will go to our homes." And then they all went to their homes and served the husband. And he told them, "If you serve your husband faithfully, you will be like a Grihalakshmi." And they all did that. But do you know, the same Purana says, in the next life, these are these ladies who became Rakshasis in Lanka, along with Trijata and others. Now I had a question. These ladies anyway reformed their mind and then they went back and served the husband. Why did they become Rakshasis? Because in the previous ages, even mental offenses were punishable. In the mind they thought of some bad thought for which they had to become Rakshasi in the next life. So, in this way you will see, even if a woman goes to a man and proposes to him, "Come, let's enjoy." If a girl goes to a boy and says, "Hey, in India they already have a law that we can live in relationship, we can live in together, no problem, come let's enjoy." The boy should say, "See, you don't belong to me, you belong to your father." So, when the girl is not married, she belongs to her father. When she is married, she belongs to husband. And when husband has taken sannyas, she belongs to her son, protected by the son. So this is Vedic rule. So, in this day and age, unless the boys have such a character, anybody can fall prey to sinful activities and pave a ghastly hell, ghastly future for themselves. So, another example comes to my mind, which is Narada. I have put the picture of Narada here. See, you all know Ajamila. He had a chaste wife and he had a very religious mother and father. But when he went to forest, he saw a sight of some Shudra and Shudrani embracing each other. He became attracted to that prostitute. Similarly, Narada also saw Nalakur Manigriv, correct? And they were also doing similar activity. In fact, they had no dress in their body. They were actually in the Mandakini Ganga near Shiva's garden. They were actually in the waters carrying a liquor bottle in the hand and playing with some apsaras. And this is the sight Narada saw. Try to compare Narada watching this Nalakur Manigriv doing their jalakrida with the nude men and women and consider Ajamila seeing the Shudra Shudrani. Although they both saw a similar sight, they acted differently. Ajamila fell down and caught the prostitute to his home, drove away the wife and parents, and eventually he begot 10 children in the womb of the prostitute, correct? He became very degraded. And what did Narada do? Narada elevated Nalakur Manigriv. He gave them the chance to become two trees near Krishna's house, and then they saw the pastime of Krishna, correct? No? And they became liberated, and they went back to Godhead. Subsequently, they went to heavens and then eventually went back to Godhead. So you are coming in whose parampara? Ajamil parampara, Narada parampara. Yeah? Yeah, ours is Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Sampradaya, no? So Brahma's son is Narada. Narada gave knowledge to Vyas. So we have to behave like Ajamila or like Narada? Ah. So we have to uplift people, not get degraded ourselves. Like imagine somebody is drowning in the water and he says, help, help, help! Only the two hands are seen. He is only showing the hand and saying, help. And in case you don't know swimming, should you go and give your hand? Of course you can give your hand, he will pull you inside. You will also get drowned. Another thing what you can do is, put a rope in a tree, tie it, and then throw the rope. And then when he catches the rope, then you can pull him. Similarly, we are coming in great acharyas like Narada's parampara. Narada is like the tree. We should follow in their footsteps and save others. We should uplift others, rather than we getting degraded ourselves. See, I am telling you this kind of examples openly. Why? In this day and age, people have become shameless like two-legged animals. Therefore, unless our character is strong like Narada, like a follower of Narada, we have a chance to get very easily degraded. That previous example I gave you of that Datta and Swanali, I told you, he's a married man having a child and he is having an affair with an unmarried woman, and such things are happening nowadays. So therefore, Narada was careful. And the Kampila Desh Brahman, he was careful. They never became lusty, correct? These two people. Similarly, anger, I can give you an example for anger. You know, once Garuda was very hungry. He flew and went to Yamuna to pick up a fish, as he would do. At that time, the fishes had made friendship with one sage called Saubari Muni. And they told Saubari that, please protect us from this Garuda who will come here. As soon as Garuda came flying, Saubari told Garuda, hey Garuda, henceforth you cannot come here. You are banned. Because fishes have become my friends, I have started a fish protection organization. I am going to protect them. So you cannot touch them anymore. But the Garuda was very hungry that day. He thought, anyway, I am banned here, I cannot come. At least let me take one fish and go. And he picked up whichever fish was on the surface, and that happened to be leader fish. Very stout fish. So he picked up that and he flew up. At that time, Saubari Muni became very angry. He cursed Garuda, saying that, if you ever come here again, you will die on the spot. Like that he said. And Garuda looked at him. He could have given a counter curse also. He was capable. Because Garuda, it is said, when Garuda is moving his wings, Tubhyam Namami Narayanaya Sri Lakshmikantam Tubhyam Namami. Like that, the glorification of the Lord's names come out of his wings. Similarly, the Samaveda comes out when he is playing, moving his wings. And who is boarding Garuda on his back? Lord Vishnu. He's a powerful personality. He could have easily counter-cursed whom? Saubari Muni. But did he counter-curse? He looked at Saubari Muni and then he thought in his mind, he is a mystic yogi. Poor fellow, he lost control and he cursed me. But if I am also cursing him, then what is the difference between him and me? I am a devotee of the Lord. Okay, I will not take it seriously. So he forgave him. Therefore, opposite of lust is love. Similarly, opposite of anger is forgiveness. Like Narada, his eyes were tinged with salve of love, Premanjana Charita. Therefore, even when he saw Nalakur Manigrivi, he wanted to make them Krishna's devotees. Rather than he himself falling down, he also didn't run after another apsara. These two guys are with two apsaras, I will get a third one. He didn't do that. He elevated them. Correct, no? So, opposite of lust is love. Similarly, instead of becoming angry on the sage, Saubari, Garuda showed forgiveness. You will see that. So, in this way, he was careful not to behave exactly the way Saubari behaved. We also, whenever we are confronted with such things in our life, if somebody is angry at you, Chanakya says, don't become angry immediately. First thing you should do is measure your capacity and his capacity. It's very important. Actually, one fellow used to travel in Bombay trains. He used to, whenever he would go, when people would push in the train and go, he would get really wild on them. He would say, why don't you behave decently? Why are you pushing me like this? He would get really very angry. So one day, he saw somebody was pushing him like this from behind. He got wild and said, who Who is that pushing me? He shouted. Then he turned around and saw it was a Palawan. Big fellow. Big tall fellow. You know, this fellow's cross-section was that fellow's hand. Thank you. So when he asked, who pushed me? That fellow said, I pushed you, so what? Yes. So this fellow, no, I just asked you. So, therefore Chanakya says, even if somebody becomes angry on you, you have to think, what is his power, what is my power, should I respond back, how to respond back, correct? No? Like in the Bhagavatam, there is another example of once Hiranyaksha took his mace and went to Varuna, Varunadeva. And he told Varunadeva, he fell at the feet of Varunadeva and caught his feet and said, sir, I want to take shelter of your feet, he said. And Varuna asked, oh my son, please get up, what do you want? It seems you are very much hankering for something, tell me what do you want? Then he got up and putting his mace on his shoulder, he said, ha ha ha, you know what, I have come to beg you for a fight. Are you ready to fight with me? He said. And Varunadeva was surprised. This fellow behaved so humbly. Now I understand his humility is simply eye wash. Then he said, oh, you want a fight? Then Varuna said, you see, I am an old man. You know, I am not a combat for you. But at this moment, Lord Vishnu has appeared as one Varahadeva. He will be a very good combat for you. You go and fight with him. And when both of you fight, he will smash you in such a manner that your body will become a feast for the jackals. He said, in the graveyard, go there, he said. Of course, towards the end, he became a little upset with him, but he did not fight with him, with Hiranyaksha, you will see that. But why I told you this, you will see that anger can be overcome by forgiveness. Similarly, I told you about greed, isn't it? Greed is such a thing which burns our heart. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we find examples. Dhruva Maharaj, see, many of you know Dhruva Maharaj becoming a pure devotee. But there is one more story about Dhruva in the later part, where Dhruva, his brother Uttama was killed by one yaksha. God knows who was that yaksha, nobody knows. That yaksha killed and went away. So Dhruva became so angry, he went to kill all the yakshas to Alkapuri. So he killed yakshas in such a powerful way, thousands of yakshas. Rest of the yakshas ran for their life into Alkapuri. And Dhruva Maharaj took his chariot and chased behind them. You run and I will not leave you. He wanted to wipe out the race of yakshas. So at that time, Swayambhu Mano, his grandfather came and said, Samyatcha Badra Rosham, Samyatcha Rosham Badram Te. He said, my dear grandson, stop your atirosh, excessive anger. It is not good for you. Even all of us, when we become excessively angry, we can tell to ourselves, enough, this is too much. We have to be careful. Because anger can act like fire. It will burn down everything. It can spoil your relationship with others. It can spoil your job or career. It can spoil many, many things. It can lead to loss of wealth, many, many things. There are multiple effects even in Srimad Bhagavatam. But good thing about Dhruva was, he was obedient to his grandfather. He agreed, okay, I will not kill all the yakshas, I will leave them. So you will find in the same manner, many examples given. Janamejaya was also stopped from burning down all the snakes, which he wanted to burn because, you know, his Takshaka killed Parikshit. Because of that, he killed my father, Parikshit. So I will kill all the snakes, I will wipe them out. Any of you think in your own mind, did you have an enemy in your life whom you wanted to get rid of? All of us think in our life, this one person, you know, if he is out of my life, I can be peaceful. People think. You ask anybody, Prabhu, are you happy? Happy, Prabhu, but, they will say. But what? That one person, you see. He is the only headache for me. So my spiritual master was speaking in Hyderabad. I happened to be there. He told a very interesting phenomenon about this world. He said, the small fellows are tortured by big fellows. And the big fellows are troubled by small fellows, he said. And he told how. He told, when a lion or a tiger comes out of the den, a bird sits on the neck of the tiger. And it makes a certain type of sound. Phew, phew, phew. Like that it makes a sound. Then all the deer and other animals, they run away. Because now they get a news that the tiger or lion is out of the den. And the tiger becomes so angry because he has to run behind the deer very fastly. You know? So when the tiger becomes angry on the bird, then he does like that, but the bird flies to the tree. So he can't do anything to the bird. So Maharaj was telling, Prahlad was like that in the neck of Hiranyakashipu. He said, Hiranyakashipu was very mighty, but tiny Prahlad, you know, became the cause of Hiranyakashipu's death. Correct, no? So you will see in this world, big people, they find problem with even with small people can trouble them. Of course, small people are tortured by big people. That is also seen in this world. But why I am telling you this, that greed or unhealthy competition in this world also has led to people troubling one another in this world. But I told you examples of Dhruva and others who actually were ready to stop their greed and not allow the greed to burn their heart anymore. They developed. Therefore, he taught him many things, he says. Our Swayambhu, if you read that section, very, very beautiful. So, now we will talk about being careful and how do we gain freedom. See, this is Prabhupada's purport in one song. Prabhupada says, if we take shelter of Krishna, then we become free from all anxieties. Just like a helpless child, when he is taken care of by his parents, he becomes carefree. Prabhupada says, not careless, he becomes carefree. See, here look at this mother and father and the child. How many of you feel the relationship is very sweet? Correct? From the picture itself you can say how the child is enjoying the company of the parents. Similarly he says, if we take shelter of Krishna, then we can also become free from all anxieties. Now what is the meaning of taking shelter? This word you might have heard before. So I'm going to tell these things in a bit in concrete terms today, in this next 2-3 slides. When you talk about taking shelter of the Lord, the very first step in taking shelter of Lord is acceptance of God. You will see in your home, there is a father who is in charge of the home. Correct, no? In a school, there is a principal. In a state, there is some CM. In a country, there is a PM, Prime Minister. Everywhere, there is some in charge. There is a leader everywhere, you will find. As soon as there is a group of people, there has to be a leader. And this universe is filled with millions of living entities. How they can be leaderless? There has to be a leader above all of them. So this is the very first step in taking shelter of God. See, we are now coming to the solution part, how to be careful and be free. But without acceptance of God, there is no question of becoming free. Like this child can never be free. I showed you what the child was doing before alone. Catching a knife, touching fire, you know, peeping out of the portico. So there can be many dangers for the child. But with parents, there is no danger for the child. He is protected. In the same manner, Prabhupada says, one should take shelter of God. The very first step is acceptance of God. Somebody may say, okay, I also accept God. That's all. I have to do anything more? For example, if somebody says, I accept that this college exists. That's all. You have to go to college and study also. Correct, no? You have to go to college. You have to study the books. You have to give the exams. You have to pass. You have to earn the degree. Correct, no? Similarly, it is not enough to just accept God. We have to align with God's laws. And that is the second thing. Like, for example, some people say, I think, you know, this is pious, I will do this, or I think I will do that. See, when you say aligning with God's laws, that means who will make the law? God will make or you will make it? Who will make the law? God's law, correct, no? In India, if you go in a car, you will travel left or right. If you go to America, you will travel left or right. Imagine you have been in America for 20 years. Now you say, now I have come back to India. Now India also I want to drive right only. I am more comfortable for me. Can you say that? No, you have to follow the law because you have to follow the law of the state. So you cannot make laws of the state in your home. It has to be made by the Constitution of India. Similarly, God's laws are made by God. One has to follow those laws. So please repeat, acceptance of God, alignment with God, acting for the pleasure of God. All of you think for a moment, in your life also, you are acting for the pleasure of your father or mother. Otherwise, no father will send money to your son studying in a college. If the son is not studying properly. In Pune, one boy joined engineering. First year he got washed out. And the father was very worried. He said, beta, I am working in the village, I am a farmer, I am making some money and sending you. Please pass and become engineer. Again, second year also he failed, wash out. Now the father was worried when he came to city and saw the son smoking, drinking. He picked him up, took him to village and said, now you just plow the field now, that's all. Because actually he was not obedient to his father, so he lost his bright future prospect of becoming an engineer, correct now? So you will find like that, three things I told you, acceptance of God, alignment with God, acting for the pleasure of God. We all are acting for someone's satisfaction. Everybody is acting. So Prabhupada is saying that you act for Lord's satisfaction. Now a question comes in the mind, oh, God wants us to satisfy Him? Actually, He doesn't gain anything from us. We stand to gain. Like Prahlad Maharaj says in one verse, that actually God doesn't want anything from us. If you do anything for Him, it is your benefit only. For instance, just think about this. Imagine Narendra Modi ji comes to Bombay and you have a Bata shop and his shoe broke on the way. So he's looking at the board, Bata, and directly he comes to your shop. Prime Minister of India enters your shop. And then he's asking his assistants, can I get a nice shoe? So you will run here and there. Which shoe will get? Best one you'll get or the worst one you'll get? You'll get the best one. Say you're getting a shoe, 16,000 rupees shoe or something. And then you put it and it exactly fits and he's very happy. He says, this fits me very well, thank you. So will you give him a bill, 16,999? Will I give him a bill? How many of you won't give him a bill? Let us say, only few of them won't give bill. Because he's Prime Minister. Can't he pay you money, 16,000? How many of you will not ask him to pay for the bill? Only half of them. Others want money, I think. See, actually speaking, you don't need to take the bill. I'll tell you why. When you are giving him the shoe, you will ask your assistant to click a photo. Because who is taking the shoe? Prime Minister. Then you'll put a board outside your shop, the shop where Prime Minister visited. That will bring you a lot of business. So who gained? Prime Minister gained or you gained? You only gain. Like that when you serve Krishna, who gains? We gain. Like that fruit when the lady gave some fruits to Krishna and she got a basket full of gold and silver and diamond. So which is more costly? Those 8-10 mangoes will be some, you know, maybe 200-300 rupees. This diamond will be, you know, 20-30 lakh rupees. So who gained more? Yeah. So by connecting with Krishna, you stand to gain. So therefore, Prabhupada is saying, this is the meaning of taking shelter. So here another purport, very beautiful purport. No one should be proud of his prestige, power and fame without being guided by the favor of the Supreme Lord. See, Prabhupada is so straightforward. In one of his purports, Prabhupada is asking, did Einstein create his own brain? Prabhupada is asking. Or after his death, can Einstein take out his brain and put it in somebody's head? Can he do that? So who gave Einstein the brain to make him the genius of the century? So God gives the brain. Not only gives the brain, He gives everything. Like people go to forest, cut down the trees and they put the company seal. As if the trees in the forest were made by them. So therefore, Prabhupada is saying here about the favors you are receiving from the Supreme Lord. So the living beings are always dependent, and the ultimate dependable object is Lord Himself. So actually, Srila Prabhupada in his books has made the knowledge so lucid for us to understand how we are indebted. Like one place Prabhupada writes, like for this bulb we are paying to MSEB, correct, no? So much light you are taking from the sun, to whom are you paying? When you buy a Bisleri bottle, you know, you pay for it. You know, when you are taking the sweet waters from the Chaupati ocean that is converted into sweet water and coming down as rains, whom are you paying to? So think about it. In Delhi, Bangalore and all nowadays, they have a machine to give you a puff of fresh air for which you have to pay a coin. Even for air. Little fresh air, little pure water, you have to pay money. But when we take from God, we pay to nobody. Correct, no? And this is the beginning of surrender to God. Begin from this and then you can proceed further. And it is going deeper. See here, Prabhupada is saying here, Lord Krishna, although equal to everyone, is still more inclined to his unflinching devotee who is completely surrendered. And unflinching, and having unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord as one's protector, friend, master. See, there is one famous verse in India, probably some of you might have heard it. Can you repeat after me? Tvameva mata cha pita tvameva. Tvameva bandushcha sakha tvameva. Tvameva vidya dravinam tvameva. Tvameva sarvam mama deva deva. See, this beautiful verse, very simple meaning. Oh, my dear Lord, you are my mother, you are my father, you are my education, you are my friend, and you are my wealth, and you are my everything, he says. And this is the way the Dwaraka residents, in the first canto, 11th chapter, you will read, how they welcomed it. It was so heart-touching when I read it. It is said, just like the sons welcomed their father, like that they welcomed Krishna. One time I was standing in Pune airport, you know, to receive His Holiness Gopalakrishna Maharaj, who was coming in by a flight. So I was waiting with all the other devotees. So one mother was waiting with a small boy, you know, catching him like this. And then when he saw his father coming in the airport, probably his father went to America and came back after 6 months, the boy jumped off from his mother and ran to meet the father inside the airport. As you all know, the airport staff, they don't allow us to go inside, correct, no? They stop you. So some airport staff lifted a stick and they said, hey, don't let this boy go. But a more senior airport staff said, he's a small kid, let him go. And the boy ran to the father and embraced the father. Father picked him up and he caught hold of his neck. And I could see the exchange of the father and the child, affection. This is the way Dwarakavasis felt when Krishna entered Dwaraka. That's the example given there. They, as soon as Krishna blew the shankh, why did he blow the shankh? He wanted to tell them, my dear citizens of Dwaraka, I have come back. He is calling them. They all came out of their homes running to meet Krishna. They went and met Krishna with faltering voices, with ecstatic voice, they are welcoming him into Dwaraka. They are all giving some gifts. Like somebody has a textile shop, he is giving Krishna some dress, dhoti something. Somebody has a jewelry shop, he is giving some ornaments to Krishna. Everybody is giving something what they can give, like offering a lamb to your son, it is mentioned there. And the kind of talks, they are all saying that, my dear Lord, you know, when Brahma and all the devatas have to see you in the milk ocean, they see you very far away. Whereas when we see you so nearby. So we are more fortunate than devatas also. But our only misfortune is you leave us and you go to Vrindavan, Mathura and Hastinapur. When we are gone, we feel so much pain. So, I was telling you about acceptance of God and aligning with God, which is a ABC. But the Dwarakavasi's love for Krishna is actually like a climax of the love. So in this way, as we align with God, initially God, we will follow God's path out of a sense of duty. Like we all are chanting Hare Krishna, out of duty. But eventually as we progress, as we read these pastimes of great devotees, then it will turn into affection. When there is affection, then it will soften the heart. So this is a very amazing sentence Prabhupada writes in the Bhishma Pitamas purport. Please repeat this statement. A living entity is so made by the will of the Almighty that he is most happy when placing himself in a condition of absolute dependence. See, what is the meaning of this? If we put ourselves in a state of absolute dependence on the Lord, we will be most happy. But it is your choice. The Jivatma is not given absolute freedom. He is not subjected to absolute control. We are given minute freedom. Lord is not crushing us that you have to become my devotee. Lord is not giving us full freedom to do all nonsense that we want to do. He has put us in an in-between situation. I'll tell you an example, it will be easy for you to understand. One time a farmer brought a cow. So sometimes when you bring a new cow, the cow is a little naughty. You've seen that now. So he tied the cow to a pole and gave it this much radius to, you know, eat the grass. But the cow, whenever the farmer bent near, immediately the cow will do that. Like this. So Then the farmer thought, hey, this is a little ferocious cow. Then he reduced the radius even more. But imagine on the other hand, if the cow behaved well, then he will double the radius. Correct, no? If the cow continued to behave well, he may probably leave the cow to go within the compound. If the cow behaved even more better, he will leave the cow outside the compound. Some villages I see, cows are let outside the house, they go and, they graze all day, evening they come back. So he gives more freedom. That means by behaving well, the cow gets more freedom. By being naughty, the cow's freedom is restricted. Is that clear? And the same is true for boys also. Like imagine, a small boy is given 5 rupees every day by the father as a pocket money. So the father will be watching how he spends the money. If he spends the money well, he will give him 10 rupees, 20 rupees, 50 rupees. He may give him more. Later on he will tell him, better here is the key of the bureau, you can use it. Isn't it? Later on he will tell, bank account I have put it in your name. Don't worry, whenever you want to take, I have put 20, 30 lakhs I have put, you take it. So much freedom he will give. But imagine if the boy is smoking or drinking, the father comes, no, he will stop the pocket money. Yeah, I heard a story, once a father told his son, beta, I have 500 crores of estates and I am going to write it all in your name when you become grown up. Now you are a small boy, when you become grown up, I will write it all in your name. And the son said, thank you, Papa, you are so kind, he said. So every day father was giving him 5 rupees. When this boy came to 8th standard, he started smoking. Then the father stopped that 5 rupee pocket money. And the son became morose, angry. So, and the father saw his eyes and he understood he is very upset with me. He called his son and picked him up on his lap and said, beta, why are you so upset with me? He said, Papa, you are a cheater, he said. You said you are going to give me 500 crores? You are not even giving me 5 rupees now. How will you give me 500 crores? The father said, beta, if I give you 5 rupees, you will smoke. If you smoke, you will die before me. Then how will I give you 500 crores? So he said, because I am your well-wisher, I want to save you from smoking, therefore I am not giving you. You promise me you will not smoke, I will start giving money again, he said. So Krishna is also such a well-wisher. So when the boy is absolutely dependent on the father and obeys him, he is in the most happiest position, correct? See, here Prabhupada writes, the Lord and the devotees both conquer each other. The Lord is conquered by devotees and devotees are conquered by Lord. You see? Like that he says. We have seen Lord Krishna driving the chariot of Arjuna. So who is conquering whom? Arjuna has conquered Krishna, correct? Because Krishna is agreeing to become Arjuna's servant. You know the pastime of Yashoda binding Krishna. So if Yashoda is able to bind Krishna, has Yashoda not got a superior position? That means devotees can conquer the Lord. Lord is called Ajita, but Ajitam Parajitam, it is said. He is defeated by the love of the devotee. How can that happen? How can God, Mayavadis are impersonalists, want to become God, but devotees become bigger than God also? They control God also, is it not true? Like you will see sometimes, like in South India, you know, they have this stick. They used to, they have fighting with the stick, you know that? So I used to practice when I was a small kid. So my father also will have one stick and I will have one stick. So when we would be fighting, when I would hit him, he would fall on the ground as if he is defeated. So I will climb on him and say, now I am victorious now. But why would he fall? Why would he fall on the ground? Do you think he is really defeated? Just to please me, isn't it? So you will see that just as the parents agree to be defeated by the children, Lord agrees to be defeated by the devotees. But sometimes Lord defeats devotees also. When he defeats, like for example, Arjuna was told by Krishna. Krishna told Arjuna, Arjuna, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, you should behave like a fool. All right? Arjuna said, whatever you say, I will do. What I should say, when I take you to the battlefield, you should cry. And you should say, I will not fight. You should be adamant like a child. No, 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 I will not fight. And then I will give you Bhagavad Gita. After that, you should fight. Okay? So you should behave like you are an illusion. Like that is said. Arjuna agreed. Krishna's this thing. So one boy was asking, Prabhuji, if Krishna really wanted someone in illusion, there are thousands of us in this world. One condition soul he can pick up and speak Bhagavad Gita, because anyway all are illusion in this world. So I thought this question is a brilliant question. Then I asked the Shyamananda Prabhu this question. I asked the Prabhu, can't Krishna pick up any conditioned soul? Then he gave a beautiful example. He said in one drama, they wanted a person who will sleep in the beginning and then get up later. So Shyamananda Prabhu was telling that, can you catch any sleeping person and put him on the stage? You cannot put. Why? Because when he has to get up, he won't get up. So you need a person who is awake but pretending to be sleeping. So Arjuna was like that. So Arjuna agreed to be fool. For whose pleasure? For Krishna's pleasure. You see? Similarly, Lord's devotees are like, you know, Parikshit Maharaj is putting a dead snake around the neck of Samik Rishi because Krishna had a plan to speak Bhagavatam through Parikshit. So devotees are ready to act like a fool for the pleasure of the Lord. You know, the Jaya Vijaya in Vaikuntha, they became demons in three births only for Lord Vishnu to have the fighting experience, stunt experience. Lord told Bhishma, Bhishma, Pandavas, all of you come. Pandavas, you be here, Bhishma will go to the other side. Bhishma said, my Lord, I am a devotee. I am supposed to be on Pandava's side. Lord said, I know very well, but I want you to be on the other side. Why? Because I want to experience Viryaras, fighting with you, just like a wrestler and a king have a fight. Similarly, Lord wanted Bhishma to be on the other side. So Bhishma fought on from whose side? Kaurava's side, because Krishna wanted to enjoy the stunt scene with Bhishma. So you will find devotees are ready to do anything. So these are all advanced stages of aligning with the Lord. And the opposite tendency I told you, where a person rebels and tries to be free himself. See, I have shown examples of each of this. Like for our tongue, we eat pakoda, samosa, pizza, all that every time, and then we get stomach pain when we overeat. For the eye, our attraction to opposite sex, shamelessly one may chase and get a slap or something. Either every time. For the ear, DJ sound. And then you become mad in dancing and then you get a high BP. And for the nose, liquor smell may allure a person and then one drinks liquor and then one becomes insane and loses control. Like a person drunken in liquor feels, you know, whole world is in my grip. He thinks like that. One small boy goes and taps him, he'll fall on the ground. No strength. And genitals, one may become attracted to a prostitute and engage in illicit sex and gets AIDS and STD, sexually transmitted diseases. So, in this way you will find each of our senses can attract us. And this I told you already in Nalakkur Manigrihi, isn't it? See, Nalakkur Manigrihi, this was the situation when Narada saw them. But, after Narada punished them, it's not a punishment, it's a blessing in disguise. He made them trees. And then, you all know this Leela, correct? When Krishna went between the two trees and the two trees broke and out came Nalakkur Manigrihi. This is a famous verse they said. Vani gunanu kathane shravanau kathayam hastau chakarma sumanastava padayornaha smrityam shirastava nivasa jagat praname drishtisatam darshanis tubavattanunam. I will tell you a crude translation of this. They said, my dear Lord, earlier we were singing duet songs. Now we want to sing your glories. Earlier we were catching liquor bottle with our hands. Now we want to catch your garland and offer you garland. Earlier with our legs, we were going to Mandakini Ganga to enjoy practically nude with a woman. Now with our legs, let us go to your temple. Like that, they wanted to use all the senses in Lord's service. See here, a very important point is coming up here. How to be careful and free? See, goodness, passion, ignorance, you all might have heard, but briefly I will show you here. See, this fellow's passion, he is shouting at the incompetent employee. That fellow is in depression, that side fellow. He's depressed in ignorance. So I have shown the symptoms of these three gunas in the next three slides. See, in mode of ignorance, in modern times, many of the youths are suffering from this. Oversleep, laziness, madness, depression, you see. Hopelessness. So I have given a pretty long list. You see the picture of the fox I have shown. Why? Fox is an insecure creature. It will not work hard to earn its meat. It will always eat whatever is left over by the tiger. Similarly, insecure people always like to pull others down. These people are insecure, fearful, intoxicated. So these three symptoms are given: nidra, alasya, pramad. And similarly, passion. If you see sangha and trishna, attached to opposite sex, thirst for honor and prestige, bossing tendency. They want to see glamour and show glamour, impress others, as I told you. So these two things which I showed you now, ignorance and passion, these are the causes of wanting to act carefree. I mean, act due to lust, anger and greed, I told you. And this is goodness, sukham and jnanam. So this is the ideal platform. See the cow, if you have seen a gir cow, how calm that cow is, although it has a big body. On the other hand, see the monkey is so small, very, very passionate. So we are running out of time. It's almost close to 9. I'm going to stop in a few minutes. See, intelligence is to be cautious of Maya and conscious of Krishna. So here Prabhupada is warning us that in this world, when we are living, even when we are practicing spiritual life, one has to know. See, in Kanyakumari, any of you have been in a boat in Kanyakumari? If you see, first time when we boarded the boat, we saw the boat was like toppling, practically going like this. Everybody was screaming except the boatman. Because the boatman knows, when the boat goes like this, he stretches his leg and he bends his leg like this. When the boat bends like this, he stretches that leg and bends like this. You know, he holds a stick. Similarly, Prabhupada says, our mind will take us on a ride like a boat. It is unstable in this world. But we should learn the art of managing mind by chanting the holy name. Therefore, the boat example he gives. Also, another example he gives of a sharpened razor. If you see in this talk, Prabhupada is saying, sharp razor is very good for shaving clean. But one has to be careful, otherwise we will be cut. Similarly, in this world, when you are walking, he says that the world is surrounded by Maya's many, many allurements. One has to be very careful. See, here I showed you five different creatures which had one sense weak. For the deer, what was weak? Yes. For the moth? For the elephant? Sense of touch. For the bee? The smell, the fragrance. Is it not true? Similarly, I told you five different things. Whereas for a human being, all five are powerful. Our eyes are powerful, ears are powerful, nose is powerful. Now somebody may think, why God is so cruel? He has given me all senses powerful. He is putting me in trouble. But the Shastras say, why He has given us? See, in the morning when they do this arati, you have seen the ghee lamp with five wicks. They represent our five senses. Our eyes, ears, nose, tongue and skin. So we are putting ghee in that which represents our ego. We are burning away our ego of the five wicks of our five senses. I am promising the Lord that from morning to night I will use all my senses only in your service. With my eyes I will see your beauty. With my ears I will hear your kirtan. With my nose I will smell that, you know, scent offered to you. And with my, in this way, with all my senses, with my tongue I will only taste the prasadam offered to you, like that. So here only solutions I have given. How to be cautious of Maya and conscious of Krishna. Control the six urges. Regulate eating, sleeping, recreation, and control the thoughts at the root. So I will suggest you can read the Nectar of Instruction, first book, first verse. There these things are explained very nicely. Six urges to be controlled, and regulation. After this I have given something which I will not explain here. See, self-management means how you can be careful and manage yourself. Bhishma told Yudhishthira Maharaj very beautifully. He gives 9 things. If you follow these 9 things, we can manage our mind very easily. And more detailed than this is here. He gives a very detailed, and you can read it in the purport 1927 Bhagavatam. All these things are teaching us how to rise above these three: lust, anger, greed. Very easily we can rise if we very carefully follow them, each of them. So I'll conclude here with a poem. I had written this poem like a summary. All that glitters is not gold. Maya's glamour is for fools. Material desires make us dance like a foolish dog in Maya's hands. Kridambiga, Bhagavatam says, senses are meant for Krishna's service. Don't sell them to Maya and lose all peace. Conquer your mind and senses of teens by careful surrender to Lord Krishna's teachings. Awaken your love for Lord by chanting. Hare Krishna mantra is supremely uplifting. Be a carefree and happy Lord Krishna's devotee by following in the footsteps of spiritual authority. Hare Krishna. See, although I have made this PowerPoint show a little longer, which I couldn't cover, essentially what I wanted to cover, I have covered already. The essential message is only one thing, that do not lead careless lives. Especially in this day and age, people say, hey, Kaliyuga Jamana, sab log gadbad karte hain, hum bhi gadbad karenge. Kya farak padega? People. So in that connection, Prabhupada says, that if there is an acid rain out there and people are walking on the road, their bodies are all getting bruises and wounds, and you have to also go out to office, will you go in the acid rains outside? You will carry an umbrella. So ISKCON is that umbrella. So stay within ISKCON, follow the four regulative principles, protect yourself, safeguard yourself. That is an essential message. Don't be like this five careless insects and animals who are, due to their foolishness, they get caught and they suffer. Similarly, human beings are also getting caught and they are suffering also. And by being careful, I gave you many examples from Narada and others. By being careful, staying within this walls, four walls of the movement, and practicing what Srila Prabhupada has given us, we can lead a truly happy life even here. Like, you know, we all desire my train journey should be nice and the train should reach the destination. Correct, no? Similarly, Prabhupada's books will teach you how to lead a happy life in this world and how to reach the destination. Both. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Prabhu, for your wonderful class. I think so all the youngsters of Mumbai wanted this amazing advice. Actually, the advice was not just amazing, but full of examples which you can easily get in our life.
And latest example.
Latest example, July 2018. Thank you, Adeshambhu, for coming and enlightening all of us. Let us thank him by loudly chanting three times. Hari Bol. And if you want him back, three more times. So, Adesham Prabhu is author to many books, and so every time I find new books coming from his side, he pens new books. This time also when he's come here, he's got a new book for all of us. This is Art of Smart Work. Art of Smart Work. So this book is available downstairs. I would like him to speak something about this book and tell us about what this book is all about.
Hare Krishna. See, in this day and age, many people are finding it difficult with that time management. See, everybody has 24 hours only. Nobody has 28 hours or 32 hours. So, within your available time, how you can function very effectively? There are almost 8 ideas given in this book. Like there is a saying in Hindi, Khoda pahat nikli chuhya obi adamari. You heard that, no? Some people work very hard and they are not able to accomplish their goal. So this book gives you some 8 different, with explanation, and activities are also there. In this book there are colorful pictures. It's a 4-color book. And it has got activity sheets also. And the ideal leader, he actually comes in the passion and goodness combination. Yeah, Raja means passion. Rishi means goodness. When you combine these two, you get a noble leader. Like Chanakya guides Chandragupta Maurya, then Chandragupta becomes a Raja Rishi, like that. So this book actually is published for the leaders working in companies. But I give out this booklet in the company and I teach it and they do the activity sheets also. But you all will be able to easily catch it. We do the same in the colleges also we are doing. So in the back side of the book I have given 100 titles. So out of this is only one book. So 99 more books are yet to come on different topics. So you will find it very easy to grasp and you can also share with your friends also. So the work smarter, not harder. That's the main theme of this book. It also gives you very, very simple clues on how to conserve your energy levels. Because if you conserve your energy, then you'll be able to spend it very effectively. Because if you become very angry, you spend your energy. If you become lusty, you spend your energy. So in this book, a lot of ideas are given on how there are two goals of any effective leader. One is called results, another is relationships. In ISKCON motto, anybody knows ISKCON's motto? More devotees, happy devotees. So happy devotee means relationship. And more devotees means results. So any good company, tomorrow you become an entrepreneur, you should focus on these two things. You should focus on results and relationships. So how to achieve that is explained in this book with many nice activities. You all might have heard about proactivity. What is proactive and reactive? I have given 5 exercises on proactivity. Proactive thinkers are the true leaders actually. Because whenever some problems comes, generally what people do? They show like this. Maybe this fellow created a problem. Whenever something good is done, people do like this. It's me only. Whereas a proactive leader never blames others. He always says, is there a problem? Let me find out what I can do to change it. So like that, many nice tips are there. This book is available downstairs, correct? It's available down. There's a book table. So you all can pick up. It has just now come from the printing press. Just yesterday it came and we have brought it for you today. Thank you.
This book is available at the price of 30 rupees only. And downstairs?
Yeah, we have books already.
Yeah, we have 500 here.
500. And we have 700 here. So, also on behalf of iOS, I also want to share something. I mean, in our daily life with our modern gadgets, smartphones and all, I guess everyone visits YouTube for at least one time, right? Every day, maybe 3 times, Yashasri Sandhyam, or more times. So on YouTube, you can also find something good, Radhesham Prabhu has given a lot of wonderful lectures. Some lectures are very small, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, good tip, good punch, everyday life. So you can also visit that and you can download and you can also hear him speak. yes. We also want to welcome all the youngsters who have come for the very first time today. Jo pehli baar aaj aaye, kripaya apne jagah pe khade ho jaiye. Those who come for the first time can kindly stand up on their place so we can properly see you and welcome you. Very nice, thank you. Wonderful. So we are very happy to welcome all of you to our Prerana Festival. This happens every month. So you are given a special invitation to come every month for Prerana Festival and get enlightened and become more productive in your personal career. All of you, do you have a coupon with you? You have a coupon? That means you go down to the Bhaktivedanta Hall, the hall below this, and you don't have to stand in the line for prasadam, dinner. You can directly go and take prasadam downstairs. So let us welcome these wonderful youngsters who come first time to our Prerana Festival by 3 times loudly chanting. Please take your seats. Thank you for coming. This ISKCON Youth Services IYS, we conduct many, many events. Prerana is one of them. Annually we also have 2 events. We have our 2 camps. What we do is we take a stock of all the youngsters who are in touch with us and we generate and we think what is the best we can give them, a good dose of Krishna consciousness or something which they lack. So this time we are having an IYS camp and this camp is going to be in Pune, in ISKCON NVCC Pune, and Radhesham Prabhu is also there in Pune that time. So those who do not know about this camp or would like to enroll in this camp, please note, this is on, we have to reach ISKCON NVCC Pune on 3rd August evening, and the camp starts 4th and 5th, early morning 4th, Mangalarti, 5th, in the evening we come back again to Mumbai. So anyone interested, kindly contact the counter downstairs and enroll, because we have very limited seats, not much accommodation is available there. The next Prerna festival, this time is a little more faster because next August is a lot of festivals coming. So the next Prerna festival is going to be on 11th of August 2018. The topic is Mera Bharat Mahan, because 15th August is close by. And the speaker is His Grace Gauranga Prabhu. Gauranga Prabhu and Adeshampu are so close always. Radheshampu has come, the next is Gaurang Prabhu. We like to thank certain devotees who have made today's Prerna festival possible by their services. In the morning, the prasadam, sabji cutting and all those sevas were connected by Talwan base under Narasimha Leela Prabhu. And today's evening coordination was done by the VGTI base of Pradyumna Mishra Prabhu. Let us thank them by also chanting Hari Bol. Anything else? Okay, so now we'll have Kirtan, and we'll request Adishampo to also lead Kirtan now. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Swaja Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
everybody,
Hare Krishna.